They could show you here in the book of Corinthians how Paul said that it was by the grace of God, by His mercy, that I am what I am. In other words, I've had to be forgiven so many times that I can't claim anything for myself. And it's because God has forgiven me and worked in me and done this in me that I am what I am. I didn't do it on my own. It was all through Christ, and constantly keeping the eye on that sacrifice and using it to put away human nature, put away sin, so that the channel is kept clear and open all the time, as I said. It is through fighting the good fight, mastering the self, growing in grace and knowledge, repenting every time we sin, in other words, turning away from sin, and letting Christ perfect His character in us that brings us before God at the Passover in a sinless state, forgiven. Some have said, oh boy, I'm glad when the Passover comes, then I will unload all my sins. How deceived. I wonder if any of you think that. You think that you can accumulate a batch of sins through the year and then come to the Passover and just simply by taking that little piece of bread and drinking a little bit of wine, expiate all those sins? Listen, and listen closely. If that's what you think, taking that little piece of bread and drinking that little bit of wine will do nothing for you. Nothing. Zero. It will not expiate one little tiny sin. And if you've heaped up a pile of sins all through the year, that means you haven't been repenting through the year. You haven't been confessing those sins and you haven't been growing. You think that you're suddenly going to throw off all of that sin and all of the character that you haven't developed is going to suddenly be developed somehow just before the Passover or just by taking the Passover? You know, there are people who, Mr. Holstein and I noticed this, and Mr. Ponce, we've talked about it, seems like our attendance seems swells about Passover time a few weeks before, and people who haven't come very often for a long, long time suddenly begin to show up as though somehow coming and sitting here a couple of weeks before the Passover and then maybe going in and taking that little bit of bread and that little bit of wine is going to fix it all up. You know, that's the old Catholic idea of, you know, paying and praying and having your sins absolved so you can go out and do what you want to do thereafter. I've just shown you that it's character that God is wanting and He's demanding. And just forgiving you of your sins does not in any way whatsoever develop character in you. It does not develop one little grain of character in you. Just being forgiven. That's the first step for growth. You can't grow until you have been forgiven because you're cut off from God if you haven't been forgiven. You don't have the Holy Spirit, or you can't have the Holy Spirit, and without the Holy Spirit, you cannot grow. You cannot develop godly character. This has to be something done day by day, not just at Passover time. If any of you think that. That bread and wine, they constitute mere symbols that tell what you have done. Not what it's going to do for you. Because it does nothing for you except maybe satisfy your appetite a little bit. Did you think that taking that little piece of bread was somehow going to magically take away some sins? Going to magically straighten out your character, your life? If you haven't been using that sacrifice all through the year, repenting all the time whenever you've been sinning, having those sins covered and making a good effort to overcome, fighting this fight, you're not going to be able to stand before Jesus Christ sinless. And you're going to be making a great mockery out of a very sacred thing. When you take that Passover, what you're actually saying is, I have fought a good fight this year. I have received some bruises, sure. I have made some mistakes, but they're under the blood of Jesus Christ because I've repented and I've tried to overcome and I'm putting forth a good effort to overcome and I've made some progress. So taking the Passover symbols, bread and wine, will do nothing for you except it will say, if you can honestly say it, you better not be lying when you do it, because whether you realize it or not, what you are saying is that I have been using that sacrifice. That sacrifice has been applied to me, and I'm clean. I'm clean through that sacrifice. I'm clean of all my sins. Not of all my sinful nature. No, that's still there. I have a lot of it. But there are no sins on that record because Christ has put them under His blood. Let's notice Romans, the 4th chapter, to give an illustration of this principle. Romans, the 4th chapter. This had to do with Abraham. Now, again, if you understand the overall theme of the book of Romans, you'll realize that the Jews were trying to gain justification and salvation through something they could do physically, and this was circumcision, and, of course, keeping the ritualistic laws. It was a physical thing. As I said earlier, it's easier to do physical things. People will do that before they will pray and before they will study the Word of God and before they will meditate, because those things are of a spiritual nature, praying and studying and meditating, whereas these other things are of a carnal nature and they're just natural to us, and we do what is natural to us. Like the Pharisees, they just went into all these physical things because they were carnal. Unspiritual. They couldn't understand the spiritual things, so how could they do them? So naturally, they were inclined to the material things. How many of us are that way? Well, frankly, brethren, if you are not praying and studying every day and growing every day, you're going to be carnal, and your mind is going to drift toward the carnal things. You probably think that just doing all these physical things concerning getting rid of the unleavened bread, we just do a good job of the house. Now, we really thoroughly clean out that house. And that's going to fix it up with God. That's going to make us okay with God. Even though we haven't prayed and we haven't studied, we maybe even neglected prayer and study even more while we were cleaning the house. So the Jews were inclined in that direction. The Pharisees. And I wonder if you realize why God put so much in this Bible about the Pharisees. Is it because they were a unique group of people who lived back in the days of Christ? And it only applied to those people back there at that time? Or was it because God knew we all had a tendency to be Pharisaical? It was because He knew we had a tendency to be Pharisaical, to do the things that we can do, we can see and feel with our hands. Because, as I said, that's more natural to us. We're more inclined to these things. But God is a spirit. John said, or Christ said in John 4, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. And that's out of our reach until we bring it within our reach through being in contact with God. And yet, Paul said that God is not a God who's far off, but He's a God close at hand. We don't have to climb a mountain to find God. We don't have to go down to the depths of the earth to find Him. He's right there nearby. All you have to do is say, get down on your knees and pray to Him and make contact with Him, and He'll be there and He'll answer and He'll help you. He'll help you to repent, which is a gift from God in itself, and give you the motivation to change, the desire. He'll make you hunger and thirst after righteousness so that you'll want to pray, you'll want to study, you'll want to do God's will. You'll be spiritually inclined. But notice what it says here about Abraham and circumcision. See, Paul used the one example that the Jews held prominently in their minds, and that was Abraham, Father Abraham, they kept talking about. And so he appealed to Abraham and his example to try to show these Jews that this physical business of doing physical things wasn't going to justify anyone and help them to gain salvation. So he says in verse 10, talking about faith being reckoned to Abraham, verse 9, for his righteousness. Faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Then it says, how then was it reckoned? Was it when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? And then Paul answers, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And notice verse 11, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet, being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all. In other words, that circumcision did not make Abraham righteous. Abraham was righteous before he was ever circumcised. God gave him the circumcision as a seal or a sign of his righteousness, of the fact he'd already achieved righteousness. Passover is in the same category. It's symbolical, and symbols never did anything for anybody. Those sacrifices in ancient times were symbolical, but they never remitted sin, as Paul said, well, in the book of Hebrews, to the Hebrews. The sin of blood, the blood of bulls and goats, never took away sin. It all symbolized the blood of Christ that would take away sin once a person repented. So you see, the Passover doesn't do anything for you in itself. That's why Paul warned those Corinthians to not take it unworthily. Now, what were they doing? What kind of people were they? Let's notice the book of Corinthians, for instance, very briefly. Why, those people were very degenerate spiritually. He called them carnal in the third chapter. You're carnal. You know, I can't treat you as adults, but carnal. They were doing all kinds of things, going to law before the unjust with one another. They were accepting the fornicator over chapter 5. And all kinds of evil things they were doing. They just degenerated almost completely out of the church. And when they came to keep the Passover, they had a big feast. They reveled. They brought their wine, their food, and they overdrank. Some of them got drunk. And they glutted themselves. And then the poor people came and they sat off in the corner by themselves with no food, while the rich, or those who had food, were sitting over on another side of the room, eating and laughing and getting drunk and all of those things, making a mockery out of it. Now, if those people had been repenting all through the year and really seeking God, really growing, they would have never done anything like that. And that was just symbolical of their overall spiritual deterioration. And yet they came and took the Passover, making a mockery out of it, not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning why he died, why it was broken. You know, his body was broken for your sins, and his blood was shed for your sins, for the forgiveness of sins. Because you've sinned, and I have sinned, we've all sinned. And that's what the Passover reminds us of year by year. And when we take it, we are saying that we not only are being reminded now, but we've had our eye on that all through the year. And we come here all forgiven. Clean, clear, having made some progress since last year. You know, this ought to be a sermon for 1987. Because it's a little too late for now. Unless this somehow, if you're in the category of sinning and having not repented, unless you get shaken up by this enough to where you can deeply repent and realize the error of your way, and you can determine here and now that from this point on, you're going to be praying and studying and yielding to God and using this sacrifice day by day or however often you need it. And that's every day, frankly, as far as I'm concerned. And when you realize that you need it on a day-by-day basis by being able to see down deep in your own heart the arrogance and ego and the vanity is always wanting to express itself, and does come out and express itself, and you have to ask God to forgive you so much, you ought to be able to stand before him saying, God, I am thankful, I'm grateful for this great sacrifice, for all the forgiveness that I've received. I know it's by the grace of God that I am here, what I am, and I can stand before you clean. I don't deserve it, I deserve death. God, I'm so thankful that you consider me a clean person, a righteous person, justified through the sacrifice of Christ. That you're willing to work with me and give me this opportunity. Grant me this grace and this opportunity to change, to grow. And all the mercy you've shown to me in that. So the circumcision of Abraham was just simply a symbol of the fact that he'd been righteous. It didn't do anything for Abraham. May have hurt him a little while, but it didn't do anything for him spiritually. All it did was, as I said, God gave it as a sign that he already was righteous. And when you take that bread and wine, it's not truly symbolical of the fact that you are righteous, that you are clean before God, there are no sins against you, and you don't have to have any because it's very easy, you know, just repent and confess them and determine to overcome whatever it is, and it can be forgiven just like that. You can't say, well, God, he's hard to get to, and he won't hear me. I have to make an appointment and wait in line. You don't have to do that. God is approachable. He's there, ready, ready to hear, slow to anger, quick to hear, quick to forgive. So likewise, taking the Passover in no way makes one righteous, but it shows that he or she already is right with God. So let each one of you, or us, who are baptized, remember you should be definitely baptized, you should have been initially circumcised of heart, you should have been circumcising the heart all along the way since that time, and stand before God with a truly circumcised heart, spiritually speaking, a true Jew, now full of the Spirit of God and free of sin. Examine yourself in that way. Do it honestly and sincerely because this is serious business. Don't take it unworthily. If you think you're not able to take it worthily at this moment, and then you better make some effort between now and then to be able to. I mean, to come to that repentance that I've been talking about. I don't mean just feeling sorry you haven't done such and such, but come to a determination that you are going to do it from this point on. This is the most important thing to you in your life, is you want to be in God's kingdom, and you want to be there with others, helping others to come along with you. Let each one of us here examine the self and then come, if proper, for you or me to do so and take the Passover next Tuesday evening right here in this room.
Apropos of some of the things that have been said today, maybe I might give you this little quotation. When you flee temptation, make sure you don't leave a forwarding address.